Last Sunday we talked about, we didn't get to it till Sunday night, about casting out demons. And, you know, we had a healing service here last Sunday night. And I want you to know, I am just still overcome with what the Lord did. Because last Sunday morning, you know, I told you when I got up and started down the steps, I took one step and something in my knee just cracked. And I was in horrible pain all day Sunday. And I had to preach on it twice. And I mean, I just could hardly move it. And Sunday night when they came down here and prayed, and Chet, wave. Walked over here and laid his hand on my knee, and instantly God healed it. Instantly. I went home. I couldn't get over it. I went home, went to bed. It didn't hurt all night long. It hadn't hurt all week. I tell you, we have the power to cast out demons. All sickness and infirmity are spirits of infirmity. And God gave us a power to cast out, or cast away. We're not demon possessed when a demon spirit is fighting us with sickness, but it is a demon spirit. And so we have the power to cast it away. Lay hands on it and tell it to leave. And I'm telling you, I just love it when God does things like that. I've not had an instant healing like that in a very long time. Every time I have any kind of sickness or accident, you know, and pray, God always heals. But every now and then I have one of those instant, and it just is so exciting when God does that. I remember several years ago when we were building the El Dorado church, we were up on ladders painting. And so it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. I started down that ladder and I got halfway down. I knew I wasn't going to make it. So I jumped. And landed on my foot, and it curled up under me, and it just, oh my gosh, it hurt so bad. And it just wouldn't get well, and wouldn't get well, and wouldn't get well. And I was just determined the devil was not going to steal my foot. And so I had drugged that foot around for about a month. It'd get well, and it'd start again, and it'd get well, and it hurt somewhere else. It hurt in the ankle, and it hurt in the toes. And so I remember one Wednesday night, I walked in here, had on pants, and I was walking down the hall, and George had leaned up against the wall there. And I walked over there, and I stuck my foot right up in his face and said, "George, I can't stand this pain anymore. Pray for my foot." And he took a hold of my foot and prayed, and instantly, and it was real swollen. Instantly, the swelling went down and the pain stopped. And church had already started, and I had to come in here and stop the service because people have been seeing me walk, dragging that foot for a month. And so it's just so exciting when God, I mean, all healings are exciting. But when it's an instant healing like that, it's so exciting. That's what's called the gospel of the good news. You just want to tell everybody that you see. And, the other day, you know, when Jardell broke his back last year, all those ribs in his back, well, he, you know, went to see a ortho surgeon a few weeks ago, or about right before we left to go to Florida. And he told him, he said, the ribs are healed, but your spine is cracked. And said, you're just going to have pain the rest of your life, and wrote him out a prescription for some powerful pain medicine. And so he came out of that, and I said, well, when you get that kind of diagnosis, there's only one answer, a miracle. A miracle. And that's what this series that he started 2 weeks ago is on. How to live in the supernatural. See, if we can do it, it's natural. If we can't do it, only God can do it. It's supernatural. And you know, we try to live our lives in the natural all the time. I can fix it. I can do it. I can do it. I can fix it. I can do it. But then we hit those times in life, we can't do nothing. You can't make your spouse act right. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much you manipulate and scream and hit and bawl and squall and feel sorry for yourself, you just can't make them do what you want them to do. Any mate ever been there? That's why, you know, some of y'all are in trouble when you get home. Those grins on that face were too big when that hand went up. Well, that's why we need a supernatural God. Only God can do certain things. If we can do it, it's not supernatural. When God does it, it's supernatural. And we want to live in that supernatural life all the time because Jesus promised it to us. He said that these signs would follow them that believe. And that's where we're kicking off here. I just want to say one thing about the people that graduated this morning from the Life Recovery. I just admire y'all so much because everybody in here, we need recovered from something that was done to us in life. Anything in our life that we cannot fix ourselves, Life Recovery will help you get to the root of it. so God can fix it. It can be anger. It can be depression. So, see, most people think it's just drugs and alcohol, what that's about. That's a very, very small. Drugs and alcohol are just self-medicating a much deeper problem. And almost always it was done to you at childhood. And so what life recovery does, it goes back and finds that root. And so God can heal it. See, the Bible says you have not if you ask not. You got to ask God. How can you ask God if you don't even know what the problem is? You know? And so it's so important. These freedom classes in Dallas and these life recovery. You know, don't just spend your whole life as a rageaholic. Can't control your anger. As a sadaholic. Always depressed. You know? As a foodaholic. You can't resist food. You know, all those things are linked in something that happened in childhood. And you can be free. Or maybe the opposite. Instead of eating too much, you don't eat at all because you got to be this little skinny model on TV. That's much more dangerous, I think. And so we all need recovery. So if you've got something you cannot get out of your life, that's the place to be. Okay, so today we're going to talk about the signs of a supernatural life. The scripture we're going to start with is Mark 16, and this is when Jesus was getting ready to go back to heaven. And he said, go into it. This is Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I know there are people that would tell you that he was only talking to the 12 disciples. But that's not true. That is not biblical. He preached to 500 people at one time in his resurrected body. If all 500 of them were standing there, I don't know for sure. But we do know that at least 120 of them did what he told them. So we know there were at least 120 there. And he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he was talking to men, women, and children when he said that. And he that believes and is baptized will be saved, and he that believes not will be damned. Now, we do not believe you have to be baptized to be saved. But if you're saved, you want to be baptized. See, the only thing that saves you is believing in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and confessing with your mouth that he has come in. That is salvation. Then once you're saved, then our goal is to do everything Jesus told us to do. And so then the next thing you do is get baptized. And why is that? Because Jesus got baptized. And he didn't need to wash any sins away. He said it fulfills righteousness. It's what you're supposed to do. It is the symbol that you're a new creation in Christ when you get saved. Okay? And he said, and then these signs shall follow those that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. And we talked about that one last week. That's the first sign, supernatural sign, that you're a true believer is when you can stop the devil. You can throw him out of your thinking. You can throw him out of your life. You can throw him out of your home. Every evil thing comes from Satan. So everything in your life that is evil is the devil messing with you. And we have the authority to stop it. And so then the second sign is, and they will speak with new tongues. Third sign, take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Chet, you proved you're operating in supernatural signs last Sunday night. And I know it was your faith joining with my faith because I'd been praying over that knee all day long and it was hurting bad. I needed that boost of faith. You lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth everywhere and preached the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. When you are preaching the true word of God, you believe it and you're living it, God will confirm it with signs following. That's the supernatural life all of us are supposed to be living. Not just one or two. All Christians are supposed to be living this right here. And then it says over in the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's four different people remembering what happened during Jesus' lifetime. And some remember things that the other one don't remember, you know. So over in Luke, he remembered that Jesus said, but tarry in Jerusalem until you are gifted from on high. See, until you get the gift from my Father, which, of course, was the gift of the Holy Spirit. So what he's saying is, before you can go out and do any of these signs, you need to go and be endued, gifted with the power of God. I'll read that in a minute when we get over there to it. So now then, let's discuss this doctrinal question. Do you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues, to be saved? No. No, you do not. the only thing you have to do to be saved is believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and confess your sins, ask Him to wash them away, confess with your mouth that you are a child of God. That's all you have to do to be saved. But that is definitely not the end of your journey. So, Jesus didn't want them to go out and begin to preach or teach or do anything until they were gifted with the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, you can get saved and live for God and go to heaven. But that is just so far short of what Jesus wants for you. He wants you gifted, filled up, baptized with the Holy Ghost so that the devil is scared of you. See, every single thing that you do that Jesus tells you to do brings you into a new level of blessing in your life. Obedience brings the blessing. It says it like this in the Old Testament. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Jesus said it like this. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I and my Father will come and manifest ourselves to you. See, every step you take of more obedience, greater blessings come on your life. That's why you want to be baptized, because it's a step of obedience. You know, it's not to join the church. It's not to get to heaven. It's to obey Jesus. Well, I had a man tell me one time, he came to church here for many years. He don't come here anymore, probably because of me. But he just didn't believe in the Holy Ghost and didn't believe in speaking in tongues. And he didn't make no bones about it. And so he said one day, he said, I just don't see any need in it. He said, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. And I said, well, just let me ask you this. Do you see any need for doing what Jesus told you to do? And Jesus is the one who told us to be filled with the Holy Spirit so we could go out and do these supernatural signs. Do you see any need of obeying Jesus? This is another big one. There's a lot of people, especially rich people, that don't believe in tithing. Really, truly. The people that are the most adamant about in my life that have been adamant about tithing were usually really wealthy people. I wonder why they didn't believe in tithing. And so this person was arguing with me one day, just up and down about a tithing is not in the New Testament. You know? And you know, so I said, well, what about when Jesus said, you tithe from all these little things that you've got? And he said, you know, but you don't do the other more important thing. So if Jesus told us to tithe, how many of you believe it's important to tithe? We don't do it for any other reason other than Jesus said do it. And then all the blessings of tithing come on us. You know, all the wonderful blessings that come into your life, God rebuking the devourer, the devil for you, opening the windows of heaven and pouring you out a blessing so much you can't come on, just by you obeying Jesus. We don't tithe to get rich. We tithe because we love Jesus. All right, let's go on. I didn't mean to get off on that. Today we're going to talk about speaking with new tongues, okay? Now, here a while back, we had a family coming to church here, and they came from another denomination that had been preached all their life against speaking in tongues. And so it just so happened, and you know, I don't preach here very often on Sunday morning, do I? Not very often, do I? But it just so happened, I was preaching that Sunday morning on speaking in tongues. And they got so angry, they quit the church, but they didn't just quit the church. They had to send me a message of why they quit the church. Because I was trying to cram the Holy Ghost down their throat. And so my response was, you need to take that up with Jesus. Because he sure did try to cram it down our throat. But there wasn't no cramming in my book. I'm hungry for everything he's got, you know? I want it. Everything he's got, pour it on. But anyway, I want to give you just a couple of scriptures. And now we're not going to get very far this morning because it's already 11:30. It's 11:30, but we're going to continue on tonight. And we're not going to pray for people to get filled with the Holy Spirit until tonight. So if you are not baptized, remember now, when you get saved, Jesus comes into you and Jesus has the Spirit of God. The Bible says you can't even get saved unless the Spirit draws you to Jesus. But there is another step called being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Remember last week what we talked about baptized was? It means you keep dipping something in something until it becomes that thing. It becomes one. The word baptized means. So once you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, it makes you one with the Holy Spirit. Do you understand the difference in being saved and the Holy Spirit coming into you and this new creation being born? Remember I told you last week, everybody is a body, soul, and spirit. But when Jesus comes into you, you have another body part. It's called the new creation. And it is your spirit and the spirit of Jesus formed into this new creation, the Bible calls it. Old things will start to pass away. Everything will become new. All the stuff you used to love, you don't love anymore, you know. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit will mortify or kill the deeds of our flesh if we let him. So that old man completely dies. That's what the baptism in water is a symbol of. When you go down in the water, which is the water, you come up washed and clean and new. See? And so when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, which when John the Baptist came preaching, he said, I'm going to baptize you with water. But there's one coming mightier than me, and he is going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and in fire. Remember, we talked about that last Sunday? All right, so the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a deeper becoming of one with the Holy Spirit than just when you got saved. Do you understand that? Am I making that clear? So then you can be saved but not be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But the problem with if you don't want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're going to lose the power to walk in the supernatural. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that does the miracles through you. And so if you're one with the Holy Spirit, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you can cast out demons. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit and you don't walk in that level of power, then you will be like the people in the Bible that they went to cast the demons out of the guy. And he said, they said, I adjure you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. And the demon looked at him and said, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? And the Bible says that the demon-possessed man jumped on them, beat them up, and they ran out of the house naked. So I just prefer the baptism in the Holy Spirit in case I run into one of those kind of demons. I never have. Now I take that back. About 3 years ago, there was a woman sat in my office that had one of those demons. And I opened my mouth, said something, and she got so mad at me. She started up and dragged. I said, leave the room. Jane, we brought Jane in there, and he made me leave the room because that woman was fixing to beat the snot out of me. I'm telling you. And so I have come up against one of those demons one time. And needless to say, I didn't cast the demon out of her, nor did my husband, nor did Jane. And that person is still running around demon possessed. And but most people are not, you cannot be demon possessed and be a Christian. You understand that? Christians cannot be demon possessed because possession means it lives in your spirit and Jesus lives in our spirit. But every evil thing that a person does to you or that comes against you is an attack of demonic spirits. It's called oppression, where it's trying to vex your life, steal your money, take your children, make you mad at your mate, make you mad at your boss. Those are demonic spirits trying to ruin your life, and you have power to cast them away from you. Not out of you, away from you. All right, I got to go on. That was last week. All right, so let's talk about it. In Isaiah 28, this is the prophet Isaiah, and he is prophesying when Jesus comes. And he says, and in that day shall the Lord of hosts be a crown of glory. The word crown means I will surround you in that word glory. There's not the normal Hebrew word for glory, kavod. It's the word beauty. He will surround you with beauty. And he will be a diadem of beauty. The word diadem is actually the word crown. And the word beauty there is actually the word glorious. So what that means is he's going to be crowned with glory. And to the residue of his people, he will be this. He will be that crown of glory and diadem of beauty for the residue or the remnant of his people. Now, the reason the Old Testament always uses the word remnant or residue is because everybody in the church is not a Christian. George Barna just did a research the other day, and I think 52% of Americans claim to be Christians, and something like 23% go to church one time a week. Something's wrong somewhere. Well, that's why it's called the residue, the remnant. It's that group inside the crowd that really loves God. Like the 12 disciples that followed Jesus when he taught on, you know, that you got to eat his flesh and bring his blood, and they all left him. They said, this is too hard to believe. Who would believe something this stupid? They all left. And Jesus turned to the 12 and said, well, you leave too. See, that's the residue. That's the remnant. There's always a group within the group that really loves God. All right. So he said to the residue of his people, and he will be a spirit of judgment. Anytime you see the word spirit or ghost, it's talking about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Unless it's talking about demon spirit. This is talking about God. He will be a spirit of judgment. So the Holy Spirit is called the spirit of judgment. For him that sets in judgment. And for strength to them that turn back the battle at the gate. That's one of my favorite scriptures in the Old Testament. The Holy Ghost is our strength to turn back the battle at every gate. Every day we battle. Every day. Every morning when you get up, the enemy's coming after you. He's either coming after your health or your money or your family or something every day. And the Holy Ghost is the strength to stop the battle right there in the gate. Well, the gate is your thoughts. In fact, in Hebrew, the word gate is the word thoughts, to think. But it's also authority. So your authority is right here in the Word of God. So when the devil comes and says, you know, you're feeling really, really bad and you start having these thoughts, this must be cancer. See, the Holy Spirit gives you the strength to open your mouth and say, you lying devil. Jesus gave me power and authority over all demon spirits, over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt me. Luke 10:38. So every time something comes against you, you quote that scripture, devil, I have authority over you. See, that's using your gate. That's stopping the battle right here at the gate. You don't say, well, I'm going to go to the doctor and see if it's cancer. And then decide what I want to do. You just lost your battle. The battle starts the minute the devil says, this is what I'm going to do to you. And then you say, no, devil, you're not. Because Jesus said. See, that's turning back the battle at the gate. Right there. How many of you, almost every morning, especially if you're my age, you get up and something hurts? My daddy used to say, the worst thing about getting old is something hurts all the time. You wake up in the morning and something hurts. And the first thing out of your mouth has to be, devil, just because I'm old, I'm not going to hurt all the time. I'm not going to forget stuff all the time. I'm not going to lose my mind. You know, you start the day every day taking your authority at the gate. And the Holy Ghost gives us the strength to turn back the battle at the gate. All right, now verse 7. Now this is talking about the Jewish people that don't really love God. He said, but they have erred through wine. And through strong drink, they've gone out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They're swallowed up by wine. I mean, I think he's trying to get a point across, don't you? Just in case you don't know, we don't believe that that it's right to drink wine or beer or any kind of strong drink. Anything with alcohol that affects your judgment, we believe it's a sin. Just in case you didn't know that. You know how many people has quit the church when I made that statement right here from this pulpit? You know how many of them have written me ugly letters that they would just love to meet me out in the street somewhere simply because I said we don't believe in drinking? And I tell them, I said, there's a lot of other churches in Camden you can go to that they do believe in drinking. So you just go find one of those churches and be, no, you're not going to talk like that. All right. So he said, but they erred through wine, strong drink, they're out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred by strong drink. They are swallowed up by wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. All their tables are full of vomit and filthiness, and there is no place clean. But who is he going to teach knowledge to? And whom is he going to make to understand his doctrine? Those who are weaned from meat, drawn from the breast, for precept must be upon precept, line upon line, and with stammering lips and another tongue, I will speak to my people. That's Old Testament prophesying Jesus. So if you want to go out here and say, I don't believe in speaking in tongues, you're going to have to go out here and say, I don't believe the Bible. Ooh, that's hard, isn't it? I'm sorry. For whom did he say it? For this is what he said. This is the rest so that you will cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. But they would not hear. How many church people do you know that don't believe in speaking in tongues? They will not hear. They've made a stand. Most of them just are listening to a preacher preach an error. That tongues passed away. With the New Testament. Do not ever believe anything anybody tells you. You only believe Jesus. Because when you get to heaven, you're the only one that can answer for your soul. You can't blame it on us. You can't blame it on your mom and daddy. You can't blame it on you. You are responsible for your soul. And if you don't know what the Bible says about speaking in tongues, it is your fault. And if you've got a prejudice against speaking in tongues because your family did, grow up and go to the Word of God and find truth for yourself. Okay, now here's another one. Isaiah 62:1. Let me just go back and say, what the Holy Ghost gives us a rest. There is a rest in the Holy Ghost. I cannot tell you how many times I have hit a wall and had no idea what to do. And just go to bed and pray in tongues. All night long, pray in tongues. Wake up the next morning knowing exactly what to do. It is the rest for the weary. It is the rest. You don't got to figure it out. You don't have to be smart. You just pray in tongues. You say, well, I don't know what I'm praying. The Bible says that your spirit is directly talking to God. And we don't need anything else. I'll read you a scripture on that in a minute. All right. It says it's the rest for the weary and it's the refreshing. Just praying in tongues. I love Thelma's group. They meet every other Monday night and just pray in tongues for an hour. An hour. An hour. That's so wonderful. To be able to train your spirit, to be able to just pray in the spirit for an hour. All right. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. This is Isaiah 62:1. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness goes forth as brightness and salvation as a lamp that burns. Now he's prophesying Jesus. And the Gentiles will see your righteousness and the kings your glory. And you will be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. What is the new name that in the New Testament? Jesus. See, they didn't have the name of Jesus in the Old Testament. All they had was the names of God, Jehovah, Jehovah Rapha, Healer, Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness. They had all those Hebrew covenant names, but they didn't have the name of Jesus. And what he's saying here is when the Gentiles see your righteousness and the kings your glory, you're going to be called by a new name. And the mouth of the Lord. Did you know it says in the book of Revelations when we get to heaven that if we overcome, we're going to be given a new name that nobody will know but us and Jesus? It's going to be written on a white stone. It's going to be our name only between us and Jesus. Do you understand? Jesus is omnipresent. When we get to the marriage supper of the Lamb and it gets to the dancing part, we each are going to get to dance with Jesus by ourselves because he's omnipresent. We could travel the universe with him, just me and him. We can go all these different places and do all these things, me and him by ourselves. And so can you because he's everywhere at the same time. Just think about that. Just get in your mind and start thinking about all the things you and Jesus are going to do when we get out of this place. Oh, I get so excited. All right. And you will be a crown of glory. Now he's talking to the church because it starts out for Zion's sake. Zion is the Old Testament name of the church. He said, and you will be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. Jesus is the right hand of the Father. And you will be a royal diadem in the hand of your God. See, it goes from Jesus is going to do those things first. He's the first in the beginning. And then he's going to make us those things. And he says, and you will no more be called forsaken. And your land will no more be called desolate. For you will be called Hespela, which it means in Hebrew, my delight is in her, the church. All God's love and delight is poured into the church. And you will call your land Beulah, which just means to be married. I hate it when they sing that song, Beulah Land, at funerals, because it makes everybody think that it's a funeral song. It's not a funeral song. What it means is we are married to Jesus and his delight is in us. See, he could have had anybody. And who did he choose? Me. That's what marriage is. One man chooses one woman and one woman chooses one man out of all the men and women. See, he chose me. And see, you should feel the same way. He chose you. I'm the beloved. I'm the one. He could have had anybody and he wanted me. See, that is our covenant marriage relationship with Jesus. And he said, for as a young man marries a virgin, let's see. As a young man marries a virgin and your son shall marry you. And let me just, I have to put this in right here. God intended a man to marry a woman. And please don't throw tomatoes at me. I know I'm being politically incorrect, but I am biblically correct. And that's all that matters. Because this earth and everything in it is going to pass away, but the Word of God will never pass away. And the bridegroom, as so as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, your God is going to rejoice over you. So when Jesus comes, and he did, he came, and we asked him to come into our heart, we have become this crown of glory and this royal diadem in the hand of Jesus. And when the world looks at us, what they're supposed to see is Jesus. So what did Jesus do when he was here on earth? Heal the sick? Cast out demons? See, are we being that crown of glory and that royal diadem in his hand? Or are we living just in our natural man, just doing what men can do? See, we have to make a choice what we want to be and what we want to do. All right, Acts 2. And this is a direct reference from Joel, another Old Testament. He said, and it will come to pass in the last days. The last days always refer to when Jesus came. The Jesus covenant. That God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, it didn't say men only, right? And it didn't say disciples only, right? And it didn't say adults only, right? It said all flesh. And it's the reason it said all flesh is because it meant all flesh. And the Lord knew there was going to be people that was going to stand in the pulpit and say, women cannot prophesy. Just thought I'd throw that in there. And I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. In case you haven't noticed, this is flesh. Women, do you have flesh? Some of us are loud at it, don't we? And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Could it be any plainer? I got to get off that. That's one of my soapbox. And your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. And on my servants and handmaidens, three times here, he said, not just men, but women. I'm just saying that for the women, okay? There's 100 times as many men out there preaching, women can't prophesy and preach, okay? I'm just taking it up for them. All right. And he said, and on my servants and my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they will prophesy. Well, those days are now. When Jesus came, and then in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, those days are now. So that's all the Old Testament background I'm going to give you. And we're going to go into the New Testament. And we've got to go. But tonight, what I'm going to do is I want to go through all the scriptures in the New Testament that tell you what the Holy Spirit will do for you. The Holy Spirit will cause you to be able to do supernatural things. The Holy Ghost in you will empower you to do supernatural things. And if we just get saved, which is enough to not go to hell, then we got to live this whole life down here with the devil just stomping us all the time, stealing our money, stealing our health, stealing our children. And that's never was God's will. The Holy Spirit is the rest for the weary, the refreshing, the power of God to walk and live supernatural. And there back in Mark where it says, and these signs shall follow them that believes it. You have to believe. They don't just happen. You have to believe. Well, the word believe comes from the word persuade. You got to be persuaded. What persuades you? The Word of God. So you've got to go to the Word of God. You've got to find all the scriptures on the Holy Spirit, and you've got to believe it. See? Now, there's a lot of people who have been prayed for to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but they don't speak in tongues. And the problem is, they've got enough faith to believe there is a Holy Spirit speaking, but they don't have enough faith to speak it once they get it. So you've got to take that step. You've got to speak that language that's in your spirit. Because when you ask the Lord to fill you, He instantly is going to fill you. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. But where it gets stopped up is, then now you've got the Holy Spirit, but you don't have the faith to walk in it. It says in the book of James, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. See, so what you got to do then is get the faith to begin to pray in that prayer language. Pray in those tongues. And so once you begin that faith, that's just the first step of walking in the supernatural. The first step. It's supernatural to pray in tongues. The Bible calls it the language of men and angels. I was reading a story the other day about this man several years ago. You may remember it. Two jetliners crashed. I think it was in Scotland. One flew into the other one and crashed into it. And they both just exploded into flames. And this man was on that plane. And this is what he said. He said, you know, I'd heard all my life that if a person that really didn't want to live for God, they said, right before I die, I'll get saved. He said, that ain't true. He said, those people on that plane were cursing God, screaming at God. He said, my experience has been if a person don't want to live for God when they're in the good times, they're sure not going to live for him in the bad times. And he said, people on that plane were just cursing and screaming. And he said, all of a sudden, right up over his seat, a piece of metal just flew off. Well, before that, he said, because he had learned in his life that anytime you hit something you can't fix right then, you immediately start praying in the Holy Ghost. And he said he didn't even have time to think about it. When the explosion happened, he just started praying in the Holy Ghost. Just started speaking in tongues and praying in the Holy Ghost. And everybody on that plane was just cursing. And said all of a sudden, a piece of metal right over him just flew off the plane. And he said he was a pretty heavy man, so somebody had to do it. He just climbed right up out of that hole and climbed out on the wing of that plane. And he was one of the only ones that lived. See, that's what the Holy Ghost does. When you don't know what to do, the Holy Ghost always knows what to do. See? And so you just start praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh, I can't tell you how many times. Those of you that are filled with the Holy Ghost speaking tongue, what do you do every time you hit a situation you don't know how to fix it? You go somewhere and you pray in the Holy Ghost. And sooner or later, either the miracle will happen or God will tell you what to do. It is the most wonderful gift to a believer. Why would anybody not want it? Fear. People don't want it because of fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. See? So, what we got to do, fear is a demon spirit that we have the authority to kick out. That's why first you kick out demons, then you speak with tongues. You got to kick that fear demon out. Because you can't have faith and fear. They're opposites. So what you got to do is, God, you start today. God, if tonight when we pray for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you be come in here prepared. You kick that spirit of fear out all day long. How do you, I don't know if y'all remember this or if I even covered it enough last week. How do you kick a demon out? Speaking it with your mouth. Speaking the word of God with your mouth. If you do not speak it with your mouth, you will not get rid of the demon. That's how Jesus did it. So that's how we do it. There's only one way, and it's Jesus' way. You bind that spirit with your mouth. You take the word of God, and you say, Jesus, you said I had all authority and power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing could by any means hurt me. And Jesus said, I didn't give you the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So the spirit of fear didn't come from you, Jesus. So I command you in the name of Jesus. I bind you, spirit of fear, you lying demon, and you leave me. You leave my mind. You leave my thoughts. I'm going to speak in tongues tonight. I've already asked God to fill me with the Holy Spirit. Many of you have, but you just don't have the faith to do it. You just don't have the faith. So you bind fear today. And tonight when we come together and we lay hands on you, if you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, and I have 20 pages of scriptures here that deal with speaking in tongues, and we're going to go through some of them tonight. But even more important, you go home. And you look it up in your Bible. And you make sure that it's what Jesus said. Because you can't have faith if you don't do that.